Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Nine Lives, Season 2, Episode 11. My lucky number, 1111. I'm very into my numerology. I actually have 1111 tattooed on my wrist, matching with my fiancé. We got matching tattoos a week into meeting each other. Really irresponsible. Please don't do that. Anyway, hi guys, how are we all? I'm extremely fatigued. I'm in peak week for Paris Marathon, which means that I think me and my training partner have run about 110 kilometers this week, and I have to run 38 kilometers on Saturday, which is putting the fear of God into me, but I know that it will be absolutely fine. But I'm at the point of marathon training where I feel unfit, unprepared, and unextraordinary. But the trick is not to believe it. You know, you're putting in the hours, you're putting in the work, you're feeling tired because you're doing the work, and, you know, it's all going to pay off. But it's really, really hard to believe it when you're in these states where you feel so tired. And a lot of people who have run marathons or do train for races will know that you have something called a peak week, and then you have something called a taper. And during the taper, you really take the miles down, bring the carbs up, prepare for the race. And in both peak week and taper weeks, you feel like you can't run because 1 week you're too tired. And the next you're like, oh my God, I should be running more than this. What do you mean it's only 5K? I have to run 42 in like a week. Oh my God. So you just have to trust the process. You know, this is tried and tested by athletes all over the world. Speaking of athletes, this week we're going to talk about hybrid training, how to be a hybrid trainer or athlete, whatever you want to call it, hybrid human. This is a question, I think probably one of my top FAQs is, what is hybrid? What is your training style? How do you split your weeks? What does it all mean? I think it feels very confusing to people who, obviously this has exploded online, and it feels like sometimes it can be a bit inaccessible. So I'm going to just do my best to tell a little bit of my story of coming into training, also give you some science, but also just make it super accessible, because it is. Hybrid training is for all of us, and not just athletes, and not just influencers. And it is, it's a life-changing training style. It's a very adventurous training style. And it is not a, for me at least, it's not a fad. It's not a trend. It's my life. It saved my life. And I would like to tell you how and why today. So if we take it all the way back to the very beginning of my fitness journey, I had no idea that the word hybrid existed. I had no idea what a hybrid athlete was. I didn't know that running and lifting wasn't common at the time. I very much intuitively discovered it. Obviously, my journey started with walking in nature, which turned into jogging, which turned into running. And I'd always been lifting weights at home anyway, sort of twice, three times a week. Because in my mind, I just knew that running in nature was good for my soul and good for my heart. And then lifting weights at home was kind of transforming or doing the whole body alchemy thing and building strength. And it very intuitively worked for me. I liked having different training styles that kept me busy and kept my mind occupied and meant that I could have different goals throughout my journey. And I've come in waves, and I've loved running for a time, and then I really get sick of it and I want to lift, and then I want to do both, and then sometimes I don't want to do anything. So yeah, today we're going to delve into basically what it all means, what it means to me and what it could mean to you. A thing I hear a lot is this expression, jack of all trades, but a master of none, which is an interesting point. I mean, I tell my powerlifting pals that I'm a runner, so that's why I'm weaker than them. And I tell my marathon running pals that I'm a powerlifter, and that's why I'm slower than them. So there is a kind of aspect of, I guess people could argue that doing all things at once makes you a little bit less good at all of them. When if you do have something that you specialize in, you can become brilliant at it. I am not an Olympic athlete, nor am I a competitive athlete. I'm just a human being who likes to explore the boundaries of my capabilities in all pockets and disciplines of life. I find that very exciting, and that's why hybrid suits me. It feels like an adventure. And even though I accidentally started it, it is and always will be my lifeline. It's my confidence, it's my chosen form of self-expression, and it has become a dear friend to me. Lifting taught me how to channel my anger and frustration, and it taught me that I am strong, I can push and pull and carry, and that I am far from fragile. Running taught me that I can fly, that I am more than my limiting beliefs, more than my grief. Running saved me in so many ways, and now I have the honor of telling my story and in exchange hearing yours. So call it hybrid or call it life, whatever the name, I am eternally grateful to this way of training that changed the entire course of my life. I was reflecting in therapy yesterday about what it kind of felt like to live in a body that couldn't. Something I feel very disconnected to now is how I felt as my past self, a body I felt trapped in and just kind of, I couldn't feel things. But my new therapist office is up a really steep set of stairs, and the version of myself 4 years ago would have turned around and not gone up. But to bound up the stairs without a second thought and to point myself at any goal and press go, what a joy. Forward center of mass, always exploring, always grateful. Thank you, hybrid. And I think that's the big thing. You know, there's a lot of technicalities that people get lost in with this style of training. And it can feel very overwhelming because, you know, oh God, right, I've got to split my week between push-pull glutes, but then I want to run a marathon, but I also want to try and train for a fast 5K. And hang on, I've got to do mobility, flexibility, recovery. I should be eating this. Wait, I need carbs and protein because I'm trying to grow my muscles while also fueling for my runs. There's a lot of noise when it comes to this kind of training, and there's a lot of opinions as well because it's a hot topic, right? People love to weigh in. And I think there's a little bit of purposeful complication of this training style because people can be very elitist about it. And, you know, who's the best at doing it all, right? But I would argue that as human beings, we have this sort of ancestral right to hybrid training. And it's within all of us to be able to do these sorts of activities. And I hope by the end of this podcast, it can feel a little bit less complicated to you because it shouldn't feel overwhelming because this is your body's way of exploring the world. And unless you are someone who is like training for a really, really precise time in a marathon, or you're a strongman powerlifter, someone who's competing at really high levels, a little bit of mistake making and a little bit of, you know, give and take and skipping sessions and switching sessions and, you know, not making your protein goal for the day. I don't remember the last time I actually ate enough protein in a day. It's okay. It's okay. It's an adventure and you're allowed to make mistakes and it's meant to be messy. My favorite thing about hybrid is it is messy. Some days I'm meant to go to the gym and I'm meant to be doing my, you know, push or pull, let's say. And that day I don't feel like it. I feel like getting covered in mud, doing a trail run with my dog. And I'll do that day. And it gives me that flexibility and balance in my life that I really, really appreciate. So I would say there's also a big, 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 big part of hybrid that is this mindfulness, this mindful approach to exercising, which is fostering a strong mind-to-body connection, which is the departure from some training modalities that may solely focus on physical exertion without emphasizing the importance of mental well-being. And I think this is why so many people have, I wouldn't say it's a bandwagon, but people have found this training style. I see often people telling their stories on social media of, you know, I used to be a bodybuilder. I used to only do this one thing. And then I discovered running, I discovered cycling, I discovered fighting. Whatever it is, rowing, swimming, and, you know, I saw it as a way of exploring the world and asking my body and mind, what do you feel like today? Do you feel like going on an adventure? How exciting is that? And that's why I think it's exploded, because it feels less insular, and it feels more sort of explorative of self. So what is hybrid training? If we're talking about the scientific definition, the primary goal of hybrid training is to foster a balanced and adaptable physique. By integrating strength, hypertrophy, and conditioning elements, this approach ensures that individuals not only build muscle and endurance, but also develop a functional and resilient body capable of handling a variety of physical challenges. The focus on cultivating a strong foundation that translates into real-world movements. Now, if we're putting the Cassia spin on this, the reason I feel so connected to that way of kind of looking at training is that I have always been someone, and I know that all of you listening are like this too, because this is why you listen to this podcast and not a super scientific-y training podcast or like a gym bro podcast. I live in my imagination. I find my imagination to be my main motivator. For example, I went to see Dune 2 the other day and it made me so motivated to do a desert marathon and be able to run, lift, you know, survive. Like, I love this way of training because it makes me feel like Lara Croft. It makes me feel like I could survive in the jungle. All of the cartoons, comic books that I loved growing up, I feel like I'm becoming a superhero. And that is the most motivational thing in the world. And also, this whole thing, it's for me, you know, it's my way of paying myself back and transforming myself into this, you know, heroine that I would have looked up to as a little girl. I can become that. And I think there is nothing more wonderful in this world or on this planet, in this earth, than the human pursuit of trying and doing something. That's why races have become such a big thing for people, because they realize when they cross that finish line, there is no other feeling like it in the world. And the whole point of training for these marathons or halves or tens or fives, whatever it is you're going for, the training block teaches you so much about yourself that you can then put into other aspects of your life. Discipline, consistency, being tired and still doing things, you know, how to take care of yourself, when to know to rest, all of these things that can be transferred into real world lessons. But at the end of it, you get a medal. And it's not so much about the medal, but it's crossing the finish line and saying, I stuck to something. I did something and it paid off. And I just think it's beautiful to see that record numbers of people are applying for these races. And yeah, it's a wonderful, wonderful movement. But I hear you ask, okay, fine. It all sounds very poetic and wonderful, but easy for you to say. You're kind of at a level of fitness now where this stuff is kind of automatic. And I will say that if it gives you comfort to hear that, that does happen. There is a point in fitness where you do kind of, if someone said to me, hey, there's this really fun half marathon I'm going to do at the weekend, you know, why don't you jump in? And I'd be like, great. And I think that's always been my goal, has been just to be someone who's capable enough to jump in without a second thought. And if you're listening to this and you're feeling frustrated in your fitness journey, or you're feeling like nothing's happening and nothing's moving, I have been there. I have been through so many plateaus, feeling like nothing's happening, nothing's moving, but you will get there in the end. The only thing that works is consistency. So how do we improve strength and endurance simultaneously? Because there is a lot of noise online about the perfect hybrid split, whether that's, you know, three strength sessions a week with two runs, or three runs and two strength sessions. And oh my God, what do I do? There's so much information out there. So if you're someone, and I'm gonna use running and lifting as an example here, because those are my two disciplines, but there are people obviously who do cycle and swim and do all the amazing tri stuff. I did try to get into cycling and swimming, didn't like it, so I'm not gonna do it, but I did try, not for me. So if we're looking at hybrid training from a way that's referring to sessions that feature elements of both cardio and strength training within a single session or within a week, the art of balancing these two things is individual. Now, I wanted to talk about this because this is something that I think is really important, that you feel empowered to make decisions about your own fitness and what feels good to you. Hybrid training is hard on the body, especially if you are training for races or you are trying to lift heavy as well as do long runs. I am someone, for example, who cannot do double sessions. Double sessions means training two things in one day. A lot of people love to run in the morning and lift in the evenings. I see it all the time on my social media. Waking up in the morning, doing a 10K, lunchtime, high rocks, another thing that I have no interest in. And then, no offense to high rocks people, I think it is amazing, but I just, the thought of it being in the crowds really scares me. Anyway, lunchtime high rocks session, and then evening, powerlifting, we're in the gym and we're lifting heavy, right? I don't have the kind of body who can withstand that kind of training pressure. I have once in my life done a double session, meaning I ran in the morning and then I think I went and lifted weights in the evening with Joe. Destroyed me for like 3 days. Won't be doing that again. I think it's in knowing and admitting what the boundaries of your capabilities are. So I'm working with what I've got here, okay? My lungs are a little funky. I've obviously got my loose skin, which is a heavy and it sometimes can be painful. I've got weak knees. And I know that in order to push myself to my levels of extraordinary, I need a lot of rest. And that means not doing double sessions. So will I ever be the person who's running in the morning and lifting in the evening? No. Will I compare myself to other people who do that? No, because our journeys are very separate. And if you're looking at the balance of all of these things, trying to cram it all into a week, like, I don't know, say you're trying to do like 4 runs and 5 lifts in a week. If that scares you and overwhelms you and makes you tired, you're going to be more likely to quit and not become a runner and not become someone who likes lifting weights. So my best advice is to be really rational and really honest with yourself about your capabilities. And if you're someone listening and you feel like you've bitten off more than you can chew and you're feeling tired all the time and you're feeling like you can't keep up with the people you see on Instagram, hey kiddo, it's okay to take a break and take your sessions all the way back. I have said many times that my sweet spot is always 2 to 3 7-mile runs a week and 2 to 3 strength sessions. And I don't have set days. I just do them when I feel like doing them in the week, when I can fit them around work and when feels good to me. And I'd say I'm pretty strong. I'd say I'm getting faster and I've got great endurance. But I think the reason I've got here is because I've avoided burnout by not forcing myself to be an athlete that I'm not capable of being. So that would be my first piece of advice. If we are talking about the health benefits of hybrid training, because I think so many of you loved last week's episode talking about what's going on in your body. And a lot of you said that you were finding that really motivational to like know why the things you're doing, even though they're hard, are good for your body and mind and brain and organs and all that stuff. So hybrid is done for potential performance benefits, yes, but there's also amazing benefits to your health too. So there's a study published in June 2022, Cardiovascular Quality and Outcomes, and explored the effects of 5 different training styles on cardiac health and concluded that hybrid type training has the most beneficial impact on cardiometabolic health measures compared with any other training types. So continuous endurance training, HIIT, and resistance training. This is possibly because hybrid training works on both your cardiovascular health, which accounts for the cardio aspect of cardiometabolic, and strengthening your muscles, which, since we know muscle is more metabolically active than fat, meaning you burn calories at rest, works to improve your metabolism. On the other hand, resistance training, for example, may focus on muscle strengthening only, depending on the format of your workouts, of course. So all in all, if you're someone who wants to be a well-rounded, healthy human from heart to muscle to metabolism to everything, hybrid training really is the way to go. So what are the fundamentals of hybrid programming? So often, if we're looking at a week, you're going to include the following. Just taking my strength and running as an example. Strength training, running, functional training, flexibility and mobility, rest and recovery. Those would be kind of like your pillars. And the best way to go about building these elements into a successful program is to follow these steps. And again, you know, everyone is different. Everyone needs different training, but these are sort of the best advice I can give. Number one would be to set your goals. So Start with one main goal. This will be your priority that dictates the direction of your training and frequency of the disciplines. So it can be very, very confusing for yourself and your body if you're like, okay, I want to run a half marathon. I also want to compete in high rocks, and I also want to get 100 kg deadlift. Best advice is to pick one. I know it's exciting. And in the beginning, when you're not, and you know, if you're not training for something, it's also okay just to mess around and run sometimes, lift sometimes, and not have a training aim. But if we are talking about, you know, right, pick one and choose, it's the best thing you can do is just choose something to work towards. I find that goal setting is and always will be the best way to anchor your life around things. Looking back at before I got into fitness, my life feels like a little bit of a kind of wishy-washy chapters that flow into each other with not much direction and a lot of kind of failed plans. But now, in the last 2 years especially, I can look back and I can pinpoint each chapter of my life around a goal that I had. So last year, obviously, we had my first ultra marathon, had the London marathon, I had some strength goals, and I had some career goals as well, including this podcast. And I can kind of look back and I can look at the chapters of my life through those goals, and I can see how my training has changed to suit each one. So second to choosing your goal would be deciding on your training frequency. So as I said, we all have different time that we can dedicate, and we all have different energy that we can put into this. So how much time can you give to training? How many days a week? Do you want to train multiple disciplines in one session, i.e. functional fitness or strength training? Or would you prefer to split different disciplines into different days? Loads of people love having days where they do a little bit of everything. And I actually don't mind that as well. In one session, doing full body with like a little bit of a interval session. Say, usually all of my sessions are an hour. So if I feel like, you know, it's like a Friday and I've got quite a lot of energy and I feel like bouncing around the gym and I'm in a good mood and I just feel like doing random things like a bicep curl, a hip thrust, and then some interval training, you know, you can mix it all together as well. But it's just about remembering, okay, am I focusing towards that main goal? And also, if your main goal is fun, that's also fine too. If your main goal is having a resilient body that can take you on a hiking holiday, or feeling confident in your clothes, that is a great goal as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to be a marathon or an ultra marathon or anything. It can just be the goal of feeling secure in yourself and in your fitness. So then you would implement progressive overload. So in order to make progress, it's important to continuously challenge yourself. This means keeping track of your workouts, varying the reps, weight or sets each week to keep challenging your muscles and to avoid reaching a plateau. Splitting your training into cycles can help achieve this, focusing long-term on your overarching goal and planning weekly sessions that build towards it. So, you know, if we're taking a marathon prep, someone who's trying to get faster, you would continuously add a little bit more threshold training each week, a little bit more race pace. The same goes for strength training. You know, you can add more reps in, you can add more weight in, but it's just making sure that you are continuously challenging yourself. If you imagine training or hybrid training to be kind of like you're pushing the bar higher and you're coming up and you're meeting that bar. And when you meet that bar, it's your responsibility to add just a little bit more pressure, come up and meet it, add more pressure, come up and meet it. I will say, however, to push back on this point, is something you've got to be careful of is not allowing yourself to enjoy the process or celebrate goals when you reach them. I think there's a lot of toxic productivity that goes on in our generation, especially. I feel it a lot with millennials, is like this kind of need to always be achieving and pushing for more and bettering self. And while that's incredible, it's really important also to know that it's okay to reach a goal and take a little minute and just celebrate that for yourself and not have to constantly feel like you're progressive overloading your entire life all the time. I definitely have implemented that a little bit more recently, where you know, I was kind of like stacking all of these goals on top of each other. And even the thought of it was making me feel very fatigued. So I'm trying to do this thing where I step back and remain present and be like, hey, that was a really fast 10K. That's really cool. Like that's cool for the next month. You don't have to try and up that. So just make sure that you are having checkpoints for yourself. Another thing I will say, and this goes for anything in life, whether it's like business goals or personal goals, mental health goals, please celebrate yourself. Please. I see it so much that people are so sheepish and I don't know, they kind of put their own fire out or their own sparkle out. They've achieved something amazing that they've always thought or dreamed of doing, something that their past self 3 years ago would just be like, wouldn't believe that they've managed to do. And they almost just kind of brush over it and they're like, oh, okay, well, that was cool, you know. But please learn to celebrate yourself. It's one of the most motivational things in the world. And, you know, you don't have to have a party. You don't have to like involve anyone else in it, but just take a moment for yourself and celebrate. Even just the notion of exploring this idea and wanting to get into hybrid training and explore the world through physical activity or make changes in your life, healthy changes, is something to celebrate in itself. So, you know, I don't know if you haven't heard it today, I'm very proud of you. Another big thing to remember with hybrid training comes a different set of rules when it comes to recovery and nutrition. I see it a lot in women, women I've worked with, women I've spoken to in the fitness space. People don't eat enough. Long distance running, while also strength training, while also cycling, while also working full time, is a vast amount of energy output. Bigger than just a casual Pilates, you know, gym girl. It's a lot of energy. Running is, yeah, it's fatiguing and it needs proper nutrition. Something I always like to kind of think about is, even though I know I'm not an athlete, I sometimes just have to pretend that I am. I'm not a casual gym goer anymore. I have high mileage weeks and I'm really putting myself through it. And I have to sleep and eat in accordance to that. A lot of people I see plateau from their dreams and goals, or they're almost not reaching their dreams and goals as a woman because they're so scared of eating more. Running, and especially running as a competitive sport, is not a weight loss tool. It is a very taxing sport, and you will have to make sure that you are fueling accordingly. So I kind of wanted to take you through how best to fuel for long runs, because this is something I get a lot of questions about. And obviously I'm not a nutritionist, but I am a personal trainer and I have worked with a lot of women to help them fuel their long runs. So these are just some basic rules to kind of keep in mind. And I've simplified this as much as I can. So before the long run, 2 to 4 hours before, you want something high carbohydrate, moderate protein, low fat and fiber. So this would be oatmeal. This would be bagel with bananas, apple juice, apples, that kind of thing. Hydrate at least 500 milliliters of water 2 hours before your run. And then 30 to 60 minutes before, you could have a carb drink, a gel, caffeine, nitrates, that sort of thing during your long run. So you want 30 to 60 grams of carbohydrate per hour. Stay hydrated, which is drink little and often, more on hot days. You can trial different brands and products. As with running shoes, we all have different stomachs. We all have different bodies. We all need different things. So it's important to, you know, try different gels, try different nutrition sources. Everyone needs different things. So the average gel, for example, has 20 to 30 grams of carbs. You can have those on the go. You can tuck them into your vests. There are caffeine gels as well, performance gels, loads of different. I mean, you can get so many crazy different things out there now on the market. And a lot of people prefer solid food during their runs. So dates, granola bars, Haribo is a big one, Sweeties, that kind of thing. I love a Haribo. I also love dates and granola bars. I prefer solid food over gels myself, although I've tried both. And at a pinch, I could probably make it through on a gel, but they make my stomach feel a bit maybe it's just I'm so traumatized by the smell of them because I've had so many bad runs where I have had gels, so I just don't like them anymore. But anyway, then after, good thing to remember is the three R's. So repair, refuel, and rehydrate. So repair is taking in 20 to 30 grams of protein. It's going to help repair all your muscle tissues. You've got to remember, running is very high impact. You're causing little micro tears all over your body. It's definitely scarier than it sounds. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. It means that your body is adapting to the pressure you're putting it under. Then refuel, simple carbohydrates. So, you know, things like cereal, granola, bread, that kind of thing, pastas, nothing too spicy. Then rehydrate, which would be fluids and electrolytes. Electrolytes save my life every single day. So just making sure that you're chugging a good amount of water. If you don't want to have expensive electrolytes, you can also put a sprinkle of sea salt in your water because it all does add up, I'm aware. So some people like to have pints of milk. I mean, I definitely wouldn't recommend that, but that's a big thing for a lot of people who do race after. And then I'd wait around 30 to 45 minutes before having a complete meal. So pasta, whatever, pizza, whatever floats your boat, you know. So those are the kind of general rules of fueling for your long runs. That's a question I just wanted to cover because it's something I get asked an awful lot. So I hope that that is helpful. Another myth that I wanted to bust is lifters or people who lift weights often sort of throw around the expression from their lifting pals that running kills your muscles, kills your gains, eats away at your muscles. And runners seem to be scared that lifting will make them too bulky to effectively run for miles and miles at a time. But it's not all one way or the other. You can do both. You can build muscle while running, and you can run and lift weights and not get too bulky and not get too heavy. Of course, if you are an athlete and it is your main focus in life, then yes, you are going to be just running or just lifting. But if you are a common or garden person who wants to explore an adventure, you absolutely can do both. It's really, really, really just about focusing on making sure you're eating enough to do both. I can't really express that enough. There have been so many periods where I have plateaued in my performance because I just haven't been eating enough. And as soon as I add in that extra meal, that extra bit of carbs and sugar, I feel like, cool, I can tackle this again and I'm ready to go. The beginning of my journey was very intuitively hybrid. It was very much walking in the park, running in the park, discovering that whole thing, and then lifting weights at home before I even knew what it was, right? But there was, and this was actually, funnily enough, the happiest part of my fitness journey, which was before I discovered social media and fitness social media. So I had no outside influence. I was just discovering myself and the world completely innocently. But after getting on Instagram and TikTok for inspiration, I fell into the kind of like bodybuilding world online, which was very, very popular in 2020, which was like, you know, the whole like hourglass figure and changing your body and all of that, which is a, you know, if that's your goal, freaking fabulous. It just didn't work for me. But I got very, very into that. And so I bought into the narrative of running kills your gains and you shouldn't be doing it. So I stopped. I stopped running for like 3 or 4 months. And I just did push-pull glutes every single week. And I was measuring my progress by just the size of my muscles, the size of my body, and by pictures. And I was absolutely miserable, absolutely miserable. I felt like I'd really lost my way and my motivation with training, and I just didn't want to do the bodybuilding thing. And I found myself actually, funnily enough, looking in the mirror a lot, which is not something I encourage or like to spend a lot of time doing. I think that body checking is something that's quite common in the bodybuilding world. And what I love the most about running and hybrid training is that there are no mirrors in the park, so I can't be looking at myself. I can just feel the experience that training is giving me. And I think that's such a beautiful thing, you know. It's all about getting outside and living. L-I-V-I-N. So for me, the benefits of hybrid training is the fact that I get to build a body that is resilient and able to explore. But it's also, I think, one of the most intuitive and balanced ways of training. I don't really have a schedule. I have something that I aim towards, but all of my sessions revolve around kind of how I feel on the day, even though I know I have to push myself, and I do. Hybrid gives me It gives me this feeling of adventure within my training that doesn't feel like a trap. It doesn't feel like I'm fixed into this box and that my progress is only measured by the size of my body parts. It doesn't freak me out when things change because that's not the goal. The goal is happiness. The goal is confidence. And the goal is to be unkillable. Honestly, that's what it is. I want to feel like a warrior. I want to know that I could run, I can lift, I can dance, I can just live my life. And, you know, I think really traveling recently has really put it in perspective for just how much I love this way of life. And it will always be my way of life because, you know, I've done things from horse riding to climbing to, you know, going up a waterfall, cycling, swimming, canoeing, obviously running, trail running. And I've been able to do them all. And having that level of physical fitness is so motivational. And it's just so life affirming to realize that that's why I'm doing the things I'm doing. And there's a sense of kind of pride. And I think pride can be a bad thing. But I also think it can be a really good thing to just feel proud of yourself and to feel like you can hold yourself in a certain way and know that, like, I am capable of doing really extraordinary things with myself. And yeah, I think it's a beautiful movement. And I see more and more people are following the path and realizing that there is really more to fitness than just being inside the gym. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, for some people, the gym really is just their safe place and they have amazing communities and, you know, it's wonderful. But for me, being outside and discovering things really is the way to go. So why do I run and lift? Well, why would I build a frame without an engine? I saw that quote the other day on a David Goggins YouTube. And I just loved it. Why build a frame without an engine? I think that's so cool because we can be as muscular as you like, but some of the most unhealthy people in the world are the people who have the biggest muscles. And to kind of focus on an all-round health and wellness experience for yourself in this human life is such a beautiful way to train. And I like the fact that I have this strong frame and it has a brilliant engine inside of it. And, you know, it's balancing all things. It's also knowing that within this style of training, there's going to be a lot of rest and recovery that needs to happen as well. And allowing that and allowing the fuel that needs to happen in order to sustain this level of training as well. But it all, you know, it all changed when I stopped asking myself, what are we training today? And started asking myself, what are we training for? That was it. That changed everything. And I, having a goal, like I said earlier, centering yourself around it and pointing yourself in the direction of something and going after it with all your might is beautiful. That's life. And that's for all of us. It really is. It's not just for a select few people. It's not just for the athletes. All of us are capable of doing extraordinary things. And extraordinary, like I've always said, is different for all of us. For some of us, it's running 1K for the first time. For some of us, it's an ultra marathon. But, you know, it's so exciting to know that with each challenge we face, we get stronger and more resilient, and we are able to move on and through to the next part of our life. So I'll end it there. I hope that was useful. There's more that we can delve into, definitely, with hybrid training. Obviously, it's my love. And I hope more than anything that you uncomplicate it for yourself. Sometimes my honestly best advice is to turn social media off and let this adventure be yours. Let it belong to you and let it be for you, for the reasons you want to train, for the reasons you want to explore, for the reasons that you want to be strong. Not because someone else does a certain split or is doing a certain race. It's great to have inspiration, but this journey belongs to you, and make sure it's unique to you. Because, you know, I get asked a lot, what's your split? What do you do in a week? And I know it's frustrating to hear that I don't have one, but that's a really important part of my process, is having the relationship with myself and trusting myself to know what I need on a certain day. In the beginning, like I said in the episode all about intuitive training, it might be better for you to have a little bit more of a structured split, like I did when I was, you know, I had my dumbbell at home in lockdown and I was lifting twice a week full body and kind of jogging on the days I felt like it. You know, having structure is really important for some people. So again, if structure feels good to you, please follow the plan that feels good to you. If intuitive feels good to you, please do that. But just make sure it's your own and you're allowing space for your, because fitness is self-expression and hybrid training is self-expression, and putting your own spin on it is one of the most beautiful things in the world. And I think running especially, you know, everyone has different personalities with it within running and what they want to do and how they want to explore and see the world. And seeing that is really motivational and inspirational. So, you know, get your paintbrushes out, paint that little future and all the adventures you want for yourself, because you're capable of it. I'm going to end with a poem that I found. This is a poem and it's dedicated to all of my neurodivergent people who listen to this episode. I have been feeling very left out recently of certain things because my brain doesn't seem to want to behave in the way that I want it to. And I've been trying to accept that I'm different and that's okay. And I'm not going to get frustrated with myself and I'm not going to alienate myself or isolate myself just because I do things in a weird way. So this poem is called "You Are Weird in a Wonderful Sort of Way." You'd rather take bugs outside than see them suffer for simply being small. The big light is too bright and the sheets need to be soft. You consider strangers' feelings before your very own. You hate to be perceived but long to feel seen. You stare at the moon as if you are seeing it for the first time. You want to be quiet but sometimes need to be loud. You feel bad for inanimate objects. You feel a whole ocean for people who cannot feel a drop for themselves. In a world of apathy and coldness, your empathy and warmth are weird, but weird in the kind of way we need. I just love that so much. So keep being weird and keep feeling things in a really big way. And that poem just about sums up, I think, how my brain works. So, and I know so many of you are the same. So I'll leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for listening. A little challenge for you all this week, not a challenge, just a nice way for us all to connect. I would love, love, love for you to take a selfie or take a picture of yourself out there in the world, exploring the possibilities of your own hybrid training, running, lifting, walking, cycling, swimming, lifting weights, whatever it is you do, whatever makes you tick. Take a picture of yourself, tag me, Cassia, obviously you know who I am, and tag 9Lives. I'm going to share them all because I really, really think we have such a beautiful community here of people who are a little weird and wonderful and see the world in a very similar way. And I think we're quite a rare group. So I think I want to bring us together. So hopefully we can connect in that way. I want to see your beautiful faces. All right. Love you all. Until next week, stay safe and speak soon.